welcome back. It is the Kaufman Show, your favorite radio show. And there are days where I'm happy to do this. There are days where I'm extremely happy to do this. And tonight is one of those nights. I am over the moon right now. I feel very lucky. There's a wonderful pregame ritual that we have in the studio as our theme song plays, Deadlines by R. Kells. You can find it on iTunes or off their first CD, Jackson Square. CDs, people still buy those, right, Jay?
What? A what? A CD?
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Have you swallowed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're getting there.
I always swallow, Dave.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Picking up right where you left off last week, huh, Jay? So, I don't know. I find, I will tweet that the show's about to start, and we kind of dot the last couple of I's and cross the last few T's. And
yes.
With a few seconds left in the song, I might sing a line or two, and I look across at Jay with a, are you ready to go look? And normally he looks back with a, yep, I sure am, Kaufman. And today I looked over to see if Jay was ready to go, and he was stuffing his face full of food.
That's right. A muffin.
A pregame snack.
Yes.
Ready to go?
Yes, I am energized. I am ready to go.
What the hell was in that muffin?
I don't know, but it's working.
Quick working stuff, man.
Because I swallowed it.
Jay, are you all right?
I'm okay.
I worry about you
sometimes. It was a long weekend.
I know.
But I'm stoked. I'm ready to go. I'm all right. You're funny because you called me earlier. Or no, I called you.
You did?
Just to let you know that I was still alive because it's amazing the amount of texts I've got from people asking me if I'm still alive. But I am.
Jay, for all of you who don't listen every weekend, you should. And you should follow Jay on Twitter at JPub Radio. And you should follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay is the manager of McLean's Pub on Peel in Montreal. This is one of the, I don't know if it's the hub for St. Patrick's Day, but it's one of the hubs for St. Patrick's Day. The line, I think, stretches basically to the Bell Center.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how good you look, all things considered.
I do. I feel good. I look good. I slept for at least, yesterday, during the day, I did 17 hours.
Man.
At the pub, because I got to be there early, because of the parade.
But you were there the day before for UFC as well.
UFC, and the Canadians played the Devils as well, and during the day, there was an Impact game.
That's right.
On Friday, I was also there early, because Montreal Hockey Talk was doing a live broadcast, and we were doing all
kinds. Yeah, that's right. You were with Murphy, weren't
you?
Yeah,
Jimmy Murphy and I doing a show there on
Beautiful.
Friday for Montreal Hockey Talk. And we, and that was all day long, and yeah, and we had a Dropkick Murphy cover band at night, which is exactly what I needed.
I'm sure.
A bunch of drunken white Irish kids jumping around to very loud music mixed in with some Piper.
Well, if you have something against drunken Irish kids, this was not the weekend for you, Montreal.
No, it wasn't. No,
this was the
wasn't.
Weekend to hibernate, if that was the case.
Yeah, so it was long weekend. It's tough. I don't know what the parade looks like because I've never had a chance to attend.
Well,
but
it looked like me walking down the middle of the street with my Expos cardigan this weekend. Yeah.
With your that damn cardigan. You would. It was a little cool outside.
It
so
really needs to go to the dry cleaners.
Oh, it really
say.
Does.
Yeah.
There's a couple other places I can tell you where it can go. But
really?
Yeah.
Really?
You'll never get rid of that thing.
Says the guy with an Irish Expos hat on.
Yes, right, my Irish Expos
IRA
cap.
IRA approved.
Yeah, I will be tweeting pictures of it in a little bit just to show people. I had a special Montreal Expos 5950 Expos cap kind of infused with a bit of an Irish flair. So I'll tweet some pictures of it so people can get a look at it. Custom built.
It shows that Jay's the World Baseball Classic is growing on Jay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm really enjoying.
Suddenly he's wearing a hat with a baseball team and a flag on it.
Yes, I'm really enjoying all the games that I haven't watched.
Jay, we're going to have a great show tonight.
Of course we are.
And when we do talk about the WBC, you might have to just fake it. But I'm sure you're good at that, too.
Okay. I mean, can do that.
You can try. It's on the television screen right across from
I can see that. Yeah.
The semifinals are being played right now. This is, for all of you listening on the podcast, this is Monday night, and the Dominican Republic is up 4-1 on the Kingdom of the Netherlands right now. Looks like a Dominican-Puerto Rico final for the WBC.
Mm-hmm.
Should be very exciting.
Yeah, and they've got that reliever with the swag on the Dominican Republic. What's his name again?
Fernando Rodney.
That's it. With
he's
the hat a little sideways.
He's a closer for Tampa.
Yes, I'm surprised an umpire hasn't told him to straighten out his hat. You know you couldn't get away with that in the major leagues. Kind of reminds me of that episode of The Sopranos where they're doing a heist on a truck And one of the guys keeps telling the other guy to put his gun, stop putting your gun sideways.
Yeah, I remember that.
And put it frontwards like it's supposed to be. But you know what? Hey, I got nothing against it. The guy's exciting. He's fun. He points to the heavens every time he gets a save.
And if you notice, you follow our guest from last week, Jonah Carey. Every time the Rays won a game last year and he had the save, Jonah would tweet, shoot them arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he's doing. He's shooting the arrow to the sky.
Yes, he is. And his hat is crooked.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Your hat is straight.
My hat is straight. I can't get away with it. It looks great on black guys. Looks awful on white guys.
It looks a little ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It looks stupid. So, yeah, I'm not even going to try.
Some can pull it off.
White guys?
Some.
No, not any ones I don't want to smack. Not one.
Yeah, but that falls into that same category as drunken Irish teens. Yeah. I mean, it's just everywhere.
I've never seen a white guy with his with his hat sideways who I didn't want to punch in the grill, believe me.
Jay Farrar, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I told you, I'm in fine form.
You are. I'm almost surprised.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I was going to tell you to, you know, you got to get me hyped somehow. You know, Kaufman, you know how to get me going, but
dude, you don't want to know what I put in that muffin.
Oh, I know. So, I don't think you have to today. I'm sure I'm pissed off about something.
Jimmy, let's take a little break, and while we turn on some music, let me tell you a little bit about what we've got on the show tonight, this beautiful Monday night. I feel so lucky tonight.
Okay.
You hear that, Jay?
Yeah.
I feel like a very lucky man
tonight. Is that some kind of St. Patrick's pun?
I guess it could be.
Okay.
But I feel like a very lucky man tonight. We've got some great guests lined up for the Kaufman Show tonight.
We do.
One of them just called in, so we're going to take a break. And then we're going to be joined. Such a cool new website, a cool new venture called RoopStego.com. Her name is Selena Roberts. You might remember her from breaking the A-Rod steroid scandal in Sports Illustrated in 2009. She's got her own thing going on right now. Really excited to talk to her about it. In about a half an hour's time, we'll have Mike Spry on the show. Mike returns triumphantly before he joins us in studio in 2 weeks. He'll be back in Montreal. Really looking forward to that. He is the editor of TheBarnstormer.com. Going to be a fun one tonight on The Kaufman Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On the typewriter, he moves his words like a prize fighter. The frenzied pace of the mind inside the cell. The man on the street might just as well be. The man on the street might just as well. The man on the street might just as well be. Say it all, say it all, say it all, say it all, say somebody. We got to say it all.
Ah, the ode to the typewriter. Don't see many of those around anymore.
CDs, typewriters, phone booths.
I know. What else can I talk about that's irrelevant? I did mention your Expos.
The World Baseball Classic.
Be nice. Be nice. It's wonderful to see competitive baseball in the month of March. We're not going to see baseball this exciting until
it's
September.
Competitive. It's not the most competitive.
Well,
and that's my disappointment with it.
The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 18-2 in spring training yesterday.
I know.
Is that better for you?
Yeah, well, at least they're major leaguers.
Fair enough. You know what? There's a lot of major league talent, even on the Dutch team.
Yes.
A lot of the guys from Curaçao.
Yes.
We get into a debate about whether Curaçao...
Well, it's another island colonized by white folk from Europe, so they count.
I read somebody tweet today that the British really screwed up. They picked all the islands where people hate baseball.
That's right. Yeah. That's funny.
Let's bring in our next guest. I'm really excited to speak with her tonight. Her name is Selena Roberts, and she has a new website called RoopStego. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. It's RoopStigo. And it looks like this is going to be the new website to compete with the big boys, which is always difficult. I watched a documentary on the website, a the first part of it. The second part comes out tomorrow about a former NBA star named Luther Wright who's battling obesity among, well, many other problems that he's dealt with since his career finished. And the site just looks fantastic, and it's an honor that Selena wants to join us tonight to discuss it. So welcome to the program.
Hey, fellas. I was just thinking about that Dutch team and how hard it is to play in clogs. I mean, that's hard, right?
I would imagine it would be a little bit difficult. But leads to great nicknames like Clogless Yo.
Oh, very good. Good to be with you guys, man. How are you doing?
We're great. We're great. We're eagerly awaiting spring and baseball season around the corner. Life is good here. We have a first-place hockey team, and there's very little to complain about. As I was saying to Jay right before you came on, I feel very lucky right now.
I know. Very fortunate. You know, I always feel lucky when I'm in Canada, though. I always get a good vibe when I'm up there.
Yeah, we're friendly folk.
That's right.
For the most part. So, tell us a bit about this website. I mean, it's I saw last week that it launched, and there seems to be just the thing I noticed is that there's something for everyone on this.
Yeah, you know, what we try to do is kind of tear down the big media concept of print and TV and web and just rebuild something that was a bit off the beaten path. I mean, we don't do hardcore event-driven content. We're not at every game, but we try to do original content, like the short films you're talking about, the many documentaries we have. We have great long-form storytelling with great writers like Pat Jordan who write for us. And we have some really funky, cool videos from a British comic named Stuart Ashen, who has a very different take on sports. So we're a bit off the beaten path, but I think that you know, that path is well worn by ESPN, and there's no use in competing with ESPN. So we wanted to build a network that does some great original content that can explore some different topics that maybe the big media companies overlook, and have some fun doing it too, and do some really cool stories like the one you mentioned with Luther Wright. I mean, here's a guy who played in the NBA, was a great jazz player, and when he got the big money, he went off the track, and he went into he had a crack addiction. He was homeless for a while, and he overcame that, and his big stumbling block now is that he is 507 pounds, and he is trying like crazy to get his life back. And the narrator of our show, Greg Murata, is trying to help him get into a treatment center to deal with the obesity. So it's a very interesting subject. It's certainly a topic that a lot of people can identify with. And like you said, part two rolls tomorrow.
Yeah, which I'm really excited to see. I can't wait to see where it goes. When you asked me my thoughts on it, my first reaction was that it's a much grittier 30 for 30, which, you know, is saying something because those 30 for 30 films are very gritty.
Yeah, you know, I like the 30 for 30s, and I think ESPN does a very good job. I think that, you know, what we are able to do is to, you know, really get down with the human element a little bit more. I think the 30 for 30s are great, but they're, you know, much more of a glamorous version of what sports is. And this is certainly a hardcore look at somebody who has been forgotten by a lot of people, but is still dealing with the aftermath of being famous and still dealing with the part of his life that was truly great when he was a player at Seton Hall and when he experienced the highs of life and what happened when he couldn't handle it. And he's very candid in talking about how he couldn't deal with fame, and his way of dealing with it was to, you know, experience drug abuse and to really get involved with a culture that sucked him in. And he talks a little bit about being molested as a child and how that's affected him now as well. So I think it really does get to the core of humanity a little bit more. We don't have, you know, high-end directors and, you know, a lot of fancy lighting, but I think we try to tell a really true and great story.
Why is it that the big boys, the ESPNs, can't tell these stories?
You know, I to be honest, I think there's a lot of conflicts of interest. You know, ESPN has a lot of deals with the leagues. They have a lot of deals with players. They use a lot of famous players in their commercials. And when you walk down that road of being an entertainment company, I think you walk down the road of conflicts of interest. And I think that ESPN struggles with that every day. I think they struggle with it when they do their newscasts and when they try to you know, balance the entertainment with the journalism. And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, I don't know that there's a right way to do it if I'm them. But, you know, I think that they fail to tackle a lot of big issues because they have too many ties, too many close financial ties with leagues and with players to do it.
Which is, you know, it creates quite a paradox, if you will. I mean, it's you know, and I hate to take ESPN solely to task on this, but, you know, there is a void. And it's weird to think that it takes new endeavors to fill it, that, you know, these established companies can't diversify and realize that there is sort of a balance between the real story and the story that the commercial, if you will. And you see it, the biggest example of it for me is Tebow on ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes ESPN gets in this cycle of creating the storm in order to cover the storm. And I think that was the case with the decision with LeBron James and certainly with their hyper coverage of Tim Tebow. It's as if they strike a match, throw it, and then are like, you know, oh my gosh, there's a fire. Oh, we got to cover the fire. you know, they are wagging the dog, so to speak, in coverage sometimes. And I think sometimes they feel like they have to entertain, and part of the entertainment is to go overboard with coverage that they cause themselves. So, you know, it's become a bit of a trend for them, and I think it's an unfortunate trend. I mean, listen, they do a lot of good things, and they do a lot of things very well, but I think their balance between the journalism and the entertainment sometimes falls on the side of entertainment.
I think part of it is not wanting to take a risk and offend anybody, you know, stick their neck out. And I think it's great that there's a site like this that right away on the first thing that you've launched, you get into the nitty-gritty. You get into difficult things that people don't necessarily want to talk about or want to hear but have to hear.
Yeah, we're not afraid to offend, I think. Is that our new motto? Maybe that should be our new motto.
Maybe it should be ours, too.
We are not afraid to offend. But I think that what I wanted to do and what we as a group wanted to do was to really go down and find some different kind of stories and also give people a chance. I mean, we give some young filmmakers a chance to have a platform for, you know, for the work. And, you know, as I was telling a friend, some stuff is going to be really great and some stuff is going to suck. So, I mean, I think we're going to try to give people an opportunity, some people who have been shut out by, you know, the bigger media companies and the mainstream, to give them an opportunity to really be creative and to look at sports in a different way. And sometimes it's just funny and goofy stuff that we do, and then sometimes it's really poignant and important stuff like the Luther Wright tale.
A few minutes left with Selena Roberts from Rupstigo.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you got the name?
Well, I used to have a golden retriever named Rups, and when I was looking for a trademark, it was really hard. Let me just tell you that trademark is like a roulette wheel. You have no clue as to what's going to end up in a trademark somewhere. So I started thinking about, you know, one of the things I really loved and I thought was a really good fit, and it was my dog, Rups. So we got Rups to go out of it. And it's kind of a good fit because he was a curious, mischievous, crazy dog, and that's probably a little bit about what we are.
That's great. As someone who loves animals, I get the connection. I feel like more people should know it. There should be a picture of the golden on the front page or something.
Well, you know what? If you went to our About page, if you drill down into the site, you will see at the very bottom there is a picture of Rups at the bottom in a hat.
And we're clicking, and there we are. Yes, in a hat. Okay.
So, yes, that's it. So he's near and dear to my heart, and what better way to honor an animal than to name a media company after it. So.
And I think that just shows what you're trying to do here. This is a whole different level of sports coverage, and I look forward to seeing what comes about from it. What do we, other than the part two of the Wright documentary, what else will we be seeing in the next couple of weeks?
Well, we're going to have a short film that goes behind the scenes of what's left of High Lie. It's kind of a gritty version of the seedy side of a sport that used to be very glamorous and used to be very hot in the 80s. And then after that, we're going to have a short film on the mystery of Morgana. I think if you guys remember back in the baseball
years. Kissing Bandit.
Yes, the Kissing Bandit. We are going to track down the Kissing Bandit. So we have a lot of fun and different stuff coming up, and some pretty good long-form documentaries that we'll be breaking out this summer. So hopefully it's a good ride. I mean, it's been fun so far, so we're going to try to keep having fun.
I'm sure time has been very good to her.
Yes, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe time hasn't been good to all of us, but I think Morgana holds up no matter what time it is.
Before I let you go, with the recent news with A-Rod and the Miami New Times report, I was just wondering if you could comment on that, considering that you were the one who broke the story in 2009 about Alex Rodriguez and steroids.
You know, it's not a surprise. I think that what I learned in doing the stories on Alex and doing the book on Alex is that, you know, PED use, performance-enhancing drugs, have been part of his entire career narrative arc. So when I saw that, you know, it's dated back as recently as a couple years ago, then, you know, it was no surprise to me, because I think that what people have to understand about steroids is it's not something you dabble in. It's not something you do once or twice and you stop, because the psychological effect is just as large as the physical effect. I mean, you get into a batter's box and you're on something, you feel like there's nothing that's going to stop you. And I think that most of the guys that I've talked to over the years, when they're honest about it, you know, say they've been on stuff most of their careers because the high is too good. They don't want to get off feeling like they can conquer the world. So it didn't surprise me. I think it's always disheartening when stuff like that comes back. But as far as shock effect, not for me, no.
Selena, thank you so much for your time tonight. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with Rupstigo.com. And all the listeners, please do follow her at Selena Rupstigo on Twitter.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks. Have a great night.
Thank you.
There she goes, Selena Roberts. That was pretty cool.
Roops.
Did you have a dog growing up?
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
You're not a pet person?
No, I mean, animals are like children to me. They're fine as long as they're somebody else's.
Fair enough.
15 minutes at a time is fine. It's good enough for me.
I grew up with dogs my whole life.
Yes.
And I have a cat.
Roops.
I have a cat now.
Yes.
Of all the dogs, the best name, I think, was Corduroy.
Corduroy. Okay.
I'd say it was after a Pearl Jam song, but that's
something
a lie.
Wrong with
my sister named it after something Corduroy, I'm sure.
Something wrong with the canine's fur, was there?
Well, it was just, I guess, the color.
Oh, okay.
Although, is there really a color for
there
Corduroy?
Isn't.
No.
No.
I don't know what.
It's usually a beige or...
I'll have to ask Amy what
off-white
she was thinking.
Of some kind.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know.
He was a golden. He was awesome.
Okay.
And, yeah, that bond is unbreakable.
Yeah.
If you get it. If you don't get it, then you don't get it.
I had a cat.
I have a cat now, and it took me the longest time to be like, well, to be cool with the fact that I own a cat.
Yeah.
Really. Not to be that crazy guy with a cat.
No, if you have two. If you had two, though, then you're crazy.
Well, that would be nuts.
That's very clear.
Who on earth would do that?
We had a cat growing up, and I just hated the damn thing. He was an ass. He's just an ass.
Yeah, you see, Jack's a good guy.
Jack?
Oh, Jack, yeah. Although he talks too much.
He does.
He talks a lot.
Yes, he does. He doesn't shut up.
I'll tape it one time and we'll play it on air. But it's an incessant meowing. It does not stop.
Yeah,
like it's a good thing. He's a nice dude.
I wonder where you got that from, Kaufman.
Ah, interesting.
It just doesn't shut up.
Jimmy, play me some music.
I told you I was on fire.
Our thanks to Selena Roberts. Check out Rupstigo. Check out that documentary on was it Luther Wright? No. What's wrong with me? It is Luther Wright.
Luther Wright.
You know why I'm confused? There's a Luther Wright and the Wrongs.
Okay.
It's a Canadian band. I got a little thrown off.
How do you know these bands?
Clogless Yo Jackson. Up next on the Kaufman Show.
Won't do a damn thing, you see. Voices all touched on a radio wave breeze. We'll have another caller with a bachelor degree. Talking alien invasion is the only chance for unity. Sorry to interrupt your caller, but it's a physical impossibility. Tell all
we gonna pitch a ball down at the Union Hall. Won't wrong and wrong till midnight. Won't fuss and fight till daylight. We gonna pitch a wang wang doodle all night long. All night long.
All night long. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. A little Howlin' Wolf to bring us in.
Yeah.
Mr. Farrar.
Yeah.
Doing all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here, I hear that if
I'm
you're...
I'm having a spoonful of fun.
Just a spoonful?
For now.
Okay. In steady doses, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't say a teaspoon.
No,
so
just a
be spoon. Happy with that.
Is it a bouillon spoon?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
it's
good.
A Frankie B. spoon.
Straight out of Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
So, first things first, I hear that, for UFC this weekend.
Yes.
And we'd like to touch on that a little bit on the show.
Sure, why not? It is a sport.
It's an event, Jay.
Sure it is.
It's a big-time event, especially in this town. We're not quite at the point where we're comparing GSP to the greatest of all time. Bertrand Raymond today. GSP et comme Ali.
Apples and oranges.
Not often that I see Jay speechless.
Apples and oranges.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, if you want it, I mean, it depends what you're saying. You could say, I mean, if you're looking from a standpoint of purely fighting,
mm-hmm.
yes, he's up there, you know, but to pick Ali because there's such a...
Right. I mean, you might as well, he compares to Sugar Ray Robinson. He compares
right.
to...
There's
you
such
know.
A social significance to Muhammad Ali.
That's it.
So it depends how you interpret saying that.
GSP hasn't, as far as I know, he doesn't have the social consciousness that...
No, he's a classy guy.
Sure.
You know, but he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't like to stir the pot very much. That much is clear.
Well, he's not sticking his neck out into major social issues.
Right.
If we're going to compare somebody to Muhammad Ali,
it's not 1967. Yeah.
It's still Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, today, Jay, is the, funnily enough, what a weird way to segue that. Today is the 10th anniversary of the start of the Iraq War,
mm-hmm.
which always makes me think of Steve Nash
mm-hmm.
and Carlos Delgado.
Yeah.
And
no blood for oil.
Athletes who stood up and, in Delgado's case, sat down.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to stand for God Bless America in the seventh
mm-hmm.
inning. He would go into the dugout and take a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Faced a lot of consternation for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do... what you believe in. You got to do the right thing.
Yeah, you stand up for what you believe in, and that's fine. I mean, you know, it's... But, I mean, to compare... I mean, even... Anderson Silva, from a purely fighting standpoint, most people say is better than George St. Pierre because he dominates more, and he's a much better striker. He's an animal. He's a barbarian, basically.
Every
nobody
time I
can
watch
beat this guy.
St. Pierre fight, it kind of reminds me of... And here's my comparison. Lennox Lewis, if we're going to compare.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that many Lennox Lewis fights that didn't go the distance where he was just a technical genius.
He's a wear and tear type of
yeah.
guy. He likes to wear down his opponent, but on Saturday he absolutely dominated. He absolutely dominated Diaz. Diaz knew it. All he could do was act up a little bit, taunt him a little bit, but he had nothing left. All he was doing was going for the haymaker, try and get a knockout. He knew that he had no chance of beating GSP.
No, of course not, but he knew that he could ruffle some feathers in advance of it.
Yeah, he's a great promoter.
That's it. And then
St. Pierre said it at the end. He's a great promoter. Give him a hand,
and
you know?
The only time I've ever been to a UFC fight was the St. Pierre Koscheck one.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. Same mm-hmm. thing. Fight ends and St. Pierre talks about his opponent like he's the greatest thing since sliced
yeah.
bread.
Yeah.
And it just shows that they
he's a great guy.
They sell it, man. They sell it and they sell it and they sell it because they want to sell tickets and they want to make it seem like these two dudes hate each other.
Yeah.
They don't hate each other.
It's very rare.
It's
it does happen.
It's the same concept as in the NHL. These guys drop the gloves and can go for a beer afterwards. We're still brothers in the union, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. It does happen. I mean, Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans
uh-huh.
really hate each other. There's no doubt about that. Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock hated each other. You knew that this was true. But in most cases scenario, you know, they're going to put on a little bit show at the weigh-in, you know, at a press conference, talk a little smack, and then they're going to go out there, build up the hype, and then they're going to hug at the end of it. Got all their energy out, it's fine. I mean, they're very one thing I know about fighters from meeting a lot of them, extremely respectful guys, very down to earth, very polite, just there's a sense of humility
humble
about them.
Humble and hardworking.
Yep, because they have nothing to prove to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to go smack him around.
I mean, I don't know how humble if you were to meet a Mike Tyson. But, like, you had a few fighters stop by the bar this weekend.
Yes, Chris Camozzi, George Roop came by, a couple of guys. And Chris Camozzi came after his fight. He had won. He won by decision. And he came up all marked up, you know. He's a pretty guy, too, you know. I date him, wow. You know. He's a very pretty guy. And he came in signing autographs, taking pictures, just had a great time. It was just great to see him. And just such a nice, humble kid. Great kid.
Well, I'm happy that it was such a successful weekend.
It was.
I can't imagine St. Pierre losing in Montreal. I think the city would burn.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'd be, you think beating the Bruins in a playoff series shows riots. Imagine 20,000
yeah.
people with those afflicted t-shirts running through town after St. Pierre loses a fight.
Yeah, affliction, Dave, not afflicted. Some of them may be afflicted. Some of them actually may be afflicted by a...
Yeah.
You know, by a pop or two.
And on that note,
yes,
let's bring in our next guest, who is patiently sitting on hold right now. He is the editor of thebarnstormer.com. He is he writes for The Smoking Jacket, had a great piece last week. And I think he's the only featured constant guest on The Kaufman Show that gets death threats. So let's check up on that. Let's see how Mike Spry is doing. You like that, Mike?
How are you guys doing?
Good. How
yeah,
are you?
I just like that. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. What's the count at this week?
It's been pretty quiet this week.
Okay.
I was traveling most of the last couple of weeks. So I wasn't doing a lot of barnstorming. I wasn't.
Well, it's always much harder to find a moving target. So.
No, I did write a piece for The Smoking Jacket where I made my predictions for the next Pope, and I was off on all of them, and so. I got some mail about that, which is amazing because one of my underdog picks was Katie Holmes, and anyone who reads that and then sends you an angry email, you have to wonder about. But
Katie Holmes would have made such a good pope. Although I was really lobbying hard for you on Twitter. I don't know. I think you saw that.
Yeah, I did. I appreciate that. I got a lot of mazel tovs from you.
You did. You did. Hearty mazel tovs. I mean, it would have been very deserving. But the church decided to go in a different direction, and we respect that.
Well, respect is a strong word.
Begrudgingly respect that. There we have go. No choice in the deal.
Exactly.
And as a non-observant Jew, I don't really have much to say over any of it.
No, I think we're all going to... Tomorrow's going to be another day. We're all going to live.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I'm surprised you guys are all standing. I thought after Patrick's Day,
we're sitting.
Parade day.
We're sitting.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Well.
We're resting our weary legs and livers today.
Yeah, I always took the Monday after parade day off when I lived in Montreal. I shut it all down. There was no point in attempting walking or talking.
So. Are you a Montrealer, Mike?
No, I spent 8 years there.
Okay.
When people say, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, you know, I lived in Montreal for 8 years. I skipped by the whole "I'm from Ottawa" part."
Smart man.
You know, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, no one from Edmonton says they're from Edmonton. No one brags about that.
No, I can't.
I'm assuming.
See. City of champions, man. City of champions.
A long, long time ago.
Mike, we like bringing you on because I like your opinions on matters at hand, and sometimes they're light and sometimes they're heavy. And today we're going to go a little bit heavy. Hopefully we can transition back towards light at the end of the conversation. But I do want to talk about the Steubenville trial with you. And more importantly, I want to talk about the media reaction after the fact.
Well, it's been a pretty wild couple of days. You've been...
It has. And I would...
Have been watching.
I'd like to bring our audience up to date. If you want to give them a little synopsis of what happened in advance of the verdict reading on Sunday.
Well, sure. I mean, there was two young football players in Steubenville, Ohio, who were accused of and yesterday found guilty of raping a young woman who had come in to party in town. And, you know, but beyond that, which is horrific on its own, there was a lot of cover up in the city by the coach, by city officials, by boosters, by other players on the team. And, you know, what's sad, I think, is that this is not the first time we've heard this kind of story. And, you know, and the painful aspects of the story continued on, yesterday post sentencing and today when, you know, if anyone was watching CNN or ABC or Fox News, where, you know, this culture of rape that's kind of come up in the States around sports, and a lot of, you know, a lot of apologetic worrying about the two football players and how their young lives would be affected by this, and a lot of blaming the victim, and very little sympathy for the just horrific and horrendous, you know, turmoil she's gone through and will continue to go through for years and years. And you know, there was there's this guy Matt Binder on Twitter who runs the public shaming Tumblr, and he was outing people all day today, just retweeting people who are tweeting support for these two football players, and also tweeting that, you know, you're drunk, you ask for it, and just horrible, horrible things. And he spent the day outing people, and it became overwhelming to watch his timeline on Twitter.
Well, it just shows how stupid people are, doesn't it? I mean,
it's beyond stupid. It's part and parcel of this culture where we've you know, deified athletes. And, you know, it's one thing to worship the false idol of you know, professional athletes, but to worship children playing a sport is a whole other problem, and it's developed this culture where, you know, things like this happen. And like I said earlier, it's this is not the first time we've heard this story. And I think until as a culture, as a people, we address it both personally and in the media, I think unfortunately it'll continue. Like this coach, his name escapes me, Reno Sekotia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, who's been there for, you know, 30 years and was aware of the video, supposedly,
right,
allegedly.
You know, essentially he's the John Voight character from Varsity Blues.
You know? Right.
These coaches in these small towns, like, they know everything about their team, you know, because it's all about winning, it's all about football, and they know every single thing that's going on with their players. And, you know, when it first came out, he joked about it. He obviously helped cover it up and was hoping it would go away, as all too often I think events like this do go away in small towns. You know, and it's just the fact that, you know, that he hasn't been prosecuted in some way for hindering prosecution, mm-hmm. for, I mean, there's a million things. I mean, I think it's time where perhaps in the States, you know, they start looking into federal prosecution and, you know, bring in the RICO laws and talk about conspiracy on a larger scale.
Well, it looks like they are going to open, it looks like, Mike, sorry to cut you off, that they're going to open a grand jury and investigate into this further, because the cover-up was so deep. I mean, they allege that there are over a dozen people at the party that took photographs of the girl. While she was either drunk or passed out or being sexually assaulted. The police tried to cover it up. The DA, they say, tried to cover it up because college football in this Ohio town, sorry, high school football.
High school, yeah.
I mean, not that it makes it any more acceptable if it were college, but how far is this place from Penn State? You know, how many hundreds of miles is it? Not that far.
But it shows that same
sickness. And it scares me to think that it took the New York Times getting involved and it took Anonymous getting involved before they moved, before there was any kind of action. And now we see something like CNN where, I mean, I don't know if we are equipped to debate the legitimacy of Candy Crowley as a journalist. But, I mean, somebody obviously thinks she's legitimate. She hosted one of the presidential debates last year.
Yeah, exactly. And
and helped out Obama in it, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, but that's a part and parcel with the failing and the flaw of the culture, right? Is that even someone who has achieved, you know, that level of success within her vocation as a journalist failed on such a massive scale yesterday in completely ignoring the victim and, you know, her and her reporter, I think it was Poppy Harlow.
That's right.
You know, worrying about the future of these two young men when, frankly, if these two young men had no future, I think we'd all be in a better place. You know,
I don't understand that mindset. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in North American media lately talking about the first that terrifying gang rape on a bus in India a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And then just last weekend, a Swiss tourist was gang raped in India as well. And there's this look of like holier than thou from the North American media about it. And that doesn't happen here. Well, you know what? It does happen here. And in this odd way, it's kind of meshed in with the culture of sports. And it just gives me the, for a lack of better word, the hibby jibbies. It just does not make me feel good about anything.
Well, and the culture's odd relationship with rape, you know, from Todd Akin, you know, during the Congress run there, saying, you know, that what was it? What was his term that escapes me now?
Oh,
legitimate rape.
That's right.
Legitimate rape.
That's
you
right.
Know? And I mean, all this kind of stuff that comes from, you know, you'd like to say it comes from the far right or the far left, but it goes beyond.
No, it comes from ignorance.
Political lines. It comes from ignorance. And I think, you know, and you know, we're talking about the States right now, but I would say that we have similar problems up here within our junior hockey ranks.
Absolutely.
Our junior hockey culture is not unlike the American, you know, high school and college football culture. And it's a strange anomaly. And something that you know, that over the last 2 days of, as we've seen this story progress, is just, it leaves you in awe, you know?
Yeah, and makes you wonder what's next.
It does.
Because we see college football scandals, we see high school football scandals, and
right.
Maybe it's just the transparency of media and the 24-hour cycle, but we're not going to be seeing less of these as the future grows, you know?
Right, and Selena Roberts, who was great, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Rip Siegel and making that a daily visit for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need more Selena Roberts, you know, in all media, not just the sports media. Hmm. And she brought up a point when she talked about, you know, it's difficult for ESPN because they have that very close relationship with the entities they're supposed to be covering as journalists, but they're also in bed with in terms of televising the events.
Exactly.
Right? And that, you know, you mentioned Anonymous, and how many of these kind of stories went away in the years before social media, in the years before there was this this option to mainstream media, where now there's these you know, bloggers and, you know, vigilantes almost.
Yeah, where Deadspin will run your story.
Exactly. Like 5 years ago, if you told me that Deadspin, you know, was going to be the moral high ground of sports journalism, you know, a website that was pretty much born around making fun of Mike Lupica. And now we're looking to them for, you know, they broke Monte Teo, you know, they were in on this. They're calling for the firing of this Reno, the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden there's this been strange switch where the alternative media is now, you know, has become the moral center. And unless, you know, mainstream media, you know, print media is dying, they're having a difficult time. It's a real transitional period for them, you know, and it's created this opening, and it's a great opening for secondary media entities to step in and do the job that unfortunately the mainstream media is completely unwilling to do.
And it's hard for sites like Rup Stigo to get in there and make a difference. And I mean, Deadspin was on the internet for a long time before it was relevant.
Yeah. Oh, it's tough to break in.
I mean, luckily they have her at the helm, which is going to help immensely.
Right. And you know how, I mean, there's an establishment within sports media in North America. You know, we see it in hockey media here. We see it, you know, in baseball and football media in the States. And for a long time, that established media would speak of bloggers, and they didn't say bloggers in a nice way. You know, they meant it as an insult. And I hope now we're
still do often, man. Still do often.
We do. And I'm hoping now there's some, you know, younger journalists in all forms of media who are coming along and understand that it's good to have, you know, a foot in each pool here. Like people like, you know, like Jonah Carey, like Bruce Arthur, you know, like Dave Bedini, like guys who kind of understand that it's a new generation of covering sports. And in order to cover it properly and responsibly, you have to be a little more open and a little less insulated.
I'd like to add the Barnstormer to that list, please.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we like to think that we're trying to fill that void when we can, you know. We reposted today a conversation we had in January called We Need to Talk, where the Barnstormer folks, Brian J. Abias, Andrew Forbes, and myself, along with guests, the wonderful Toronto writers Natalie Zena Walshots and Stacey May Fowles, did a roundtable moderated by Ian Ordy, who's another editor at the Barn. And we talked about the culture of rape and misogyny in sports. And it was not an easy conversation, particularly as men to have with two intelligent, ambitious, really great writers like Stacey and Natalie. And, you know, they put it all on the table, and it was not an easy conversation for us to have, but it really, I think it brought up a lot of topics that that we don't talk about in and out of the media. And we reposted it today, and it had another good hit, and we got a lot of good visits and good response on it. And I think that conversation that we had is a conversation that has to exist more within the realm of this culture that is having a difficult time right now, and we need to address these issues because we can't have more Steubenvilles and more Penn States, you know.
We're finishing up with Mike Spry from the Barnstormer. Follow him on Twitter at mdspry.com. Mike, I don't know how to transition to something happier other than the fact that you're going to be joining us in studio in a couple of weeks, right?
I am. I'm so excited. I'm getting out of the woods. I'm getting in a car. I'm coming down. It's been rough up here, man. It's really snowing outside now, so my power's gone off twice the last couple of weeks. You know, we're on the Quebec infrastructure up here. It's it's not a great grid. We're on. The wind blows hard in Wakefield, and I've got the candles out. So yeah, I'm coming down. I'm going to be if anyone's around. I'm going to be reading at Sparrow on the 31st as part of Matrix Magazine's pilot reading series with West Coast poet Nikki Reimer, who's awesome, and some other local writers. And then, I'm going to drop in on you guys on Easter Monday.
Awesome.
And we're going to have some fun.
We're going to insert Easter joke here.
Easter Monday.
Yeah.
I get Easter Monday off, no?
Do you?
No, I don't know.
You mean from me?
Yeah.
Well, you just don't want to meet Spry, right? Is that the deal?
Well, he did such a good... Go ahead.
Ferrer insulted me by proxy a couple of weeks ago. I got this Facebook message from a good buddy, Montreal writer John Fiorentino, and I can't even repeat what the message said, but he said that Jay Ferrer suggested I was missing a certain appendage. I guess you were sitting next to him in a bar somewhere, and so...
What?
So, yeah.
I don't even know who that is. I never said anything like that.
Really?
Yeah. Who said this?
John Fiorentino.
I have no idea who that is.
Well, maybe it never happened.
Maybe he was sitting next to the other Jay Ferrar.
It's like the singer-songwriter Jay Ferrar.
Yeah. Well, the other Jay Ferrar's having a rough time. So, yeah, he could have been just sitting drunk in a bar.
Mike, I guarantee you I never, ever said anything like that. I haven't even met you.
I know. Yeah. So
show me next time, and then I'll know the truth, you know?
Well, there you go. It's resolved.
We'll have to meet at some point, Jay.
Well, we will resurrect this conversation on Easter Monday.
Well, I need to talk to some people.
I'll get more information.
My goodness.
Everybody okay over here? Everybody all right? Do we have to do another segment? This is how to end it on a different note, I think. This changed the tone.
It was all in good fun. And Jay, I love him. And you know, I sided with him in the dispute with Jay Tweedy and Jeff Tweedy. And, you know, I wish Uncle Tupelo was still together.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
What appendage?
All of the good ones.
Oh, no. Oh. Well, whoever you are, John Fiorentino, you just got a hell of a plug at Midnight on the Kaufman Show.
Oh, okay. I know who John Fiorentino is.
What, you took it took you saying it in my accent?
No,
Fiorentino.
I don't know. I don't know. I just, why would I say something like that?
Oh, alcohol.
We were able to end on a lighter note.
We were. And I'm looking forward to, do you know what the date is? The 31st is what?
It's a Sunday.
Perfect. So we'll see you on the 32nd.
That sounds good, guys.
Mike, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Have a great night. We'll speak soon. The cold winds blow in Wakefield. Have to protect those appendages. Play me some music, Jimmy.
Jeez.
John Kakalakis has a sports update. John is on Twitter at John K Sports. Follow him. Interact. He's got some news coming up for you. The Dutch are in tough. Down 4-1 to the Dominicans right now. I may be the only one who cares, but hey, it is the Kaufman Show. Love that country pie. Listen to the fiddler play when it's playing till the break of day. For me, oh my, love that country pie. Raspberry, strawberry, lemon, and lime. What do I care? Blueberry, apple, cherry, pumpkin, and plum. Call me for dinner, honey, I'll be there. That'll be a... Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you. I believe that we've gone back to the memory bank.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that happened in the pub, which I don't remember. I know what it is now. John, I know John, he hangs out at some local establishments, and I was talking to him about Spry, and he kind of told me, he goes, yeah, I'm going to screw with him a little bit on Facebook right now, and then questioned the status of Mike Spry's appendix. Appendage.
Appendage.
Appendix. Yeah, it wasn't his appendix, believe me. But yes, and said that I said it, which he was, and I remember that now.
Wow. Well,
John's such a great guy.
He sounds it.
No, he's a good guy. Now I remember what it was. My God. But I mean, if I had a dime for every time I screwed with somebody on Facebook, I wouldn't be working here.
If you screwed with somebody's appendage.
Yeah. No, that. Well, depends.
Phone lines are open.
Different story.
514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. We love the calls. We love the tweets. We love the Facebook messages. What we'd like the most is for you guys to please sign the Save TSN 690 petition. Maybe write a little letter to the CRTC saying just how much you like the Kaufman Show and that you don't want it to go away. Jay will. Last week, what did I say you'd do for people if they join the Facebook group? You'd wash their floors or something?
What is going on?
Jay
what?
Will clean your house. Jay Farrar will come
to
your house.
Do I have a personality disorder or something that I say things and I just don't remember?
I'm taking a little bit of latitude as the host of this show.
Oh, okay. Yes,
and
I will do that.
I'm designating...
I will clean your floors.
Jay will clean your house.
I don't even clean my own house. I'm going to start cleaning other people's houses.
Well, if they're going to keep you employed.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make it fair. Oh, fine. Jay will cook you dinner.
Yes.
Jay will buy you a book.
Yeah, all things
Jay
you don't...
Jay will take you dancing.
All things you don't want Jay to do for you. Believe me.
Let's. Did I throw out the 1-8? No, I didn't. 1-866-896-2546. If you're out of town, please do remember we're owned by Bell. We might as well pay for the phone calls, not you. Let's go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina. Howdy, Travis.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I would sign the petition, but for some reason, I don't think the CRTC cares about what I think too much.
I don't care. You write Travis from Asheville, Quebec, for all I care. Put an H in front of it. Everybody will believe it.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, down here when people get the illicit gray market Canadian satellite dishes, we're going to say they're in southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
Right.
But I hate to bring back the dark things that you were talking about with Mike Spry.
Hey, man, we got to talk about, we talk about all things on this show.
That's true. But, you know, it's people will, that stuff's going to continue until it's taught the kids not to. And a lot of people are going to be uncomfortable with that. But, you know, apart from a few very small minority of just abject, you know, contrarian jerks, it's, as kids, when we're taught not to litter and to recycle, what do? We throw the trash in the trash can and recycle bottles and cans and stuff. If children were taught to respect others, particularly women, and not to impose their will on people, they're going to stop. It's going to change. It may not be a complete reduction, but it's going to reduce it. And particularly in sports programs, you know, they say, oh, yeah, respect your opponent, but come on, and particularly with football, in a culture that still, to an extent, teaches, you know, teenagers and children to lead with their heads and induce concussions in people, there's not a whole lot of respect there, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, what do you see changing? You think the NFL is going to suddenly invest $50 million in education, re-education?
No, of course not. No, I'm of course being...
I mean, that could pay for Roger Goodell for like 1 year, man. Come on.
Yeah. No, they're not going to change. And the culture around it will continue not to change, I think, until there's critical mass, you know, because it's kind of like it is with guns down here. Things like this, there is a very small market in this country, and I'm sure in Canada, and left the West as well. There's a very small market for media, be it music, movies, television, books, whatever, that makes you feel bad about yourself, that makes you really question your own motives and ideas. It's not a big market for that.
Well, it's a tough sell, right?
It's a tough sell. You know, people don't like, you know, people don't like watching documentaries about unfortunate things. You know, we had this big controversy here 10 or 12 years ago where NBC showed Schindler's List unedited on television, and there was controversy about it because it's graphic. Well, no kidding. What do you think it's about, you know? And that's the attitude. And people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to think about it. And in a country where you're allowed to opt out your child from sex education and make sure they think that nothing happens until you teach them, which of course means you don't teach them.
Right.
That, you know, there's going to continue to be a whole bunch of weird stuff, particularly in small towns that are overwhelmingly rural, religious. They're, I don't want to be too offensive, but the state is, the culture behind conservative religious groups in the United States are...
Well, I don't think that equates to acceptance of rape culture. I'm not going to draw that conclusion.
No, and I'm not saying that it's purely that. I'm just saying that, you know, in a certain subsection of the religious right, when you deal with extreme dominionist Christians who almost treat women like... not very well.
Second class citizens.
Yeah, vessels to reproduce, to produce soldiers for God's army, that kind
of
stuff.
Okay, fourth class citizens.
Fourth, yeah. Let's not be generous here.
No.
You know, that's going to continue until there is more, you know, government intervention when it comes to programs. Because I was aware that when I was looking up this. Of this case, there was a program, apparently an advertising campaign in Canada, an anti-rape reduction campaign, and it was apparently effective. It was
a what?
A rape reduction ad campaign that just basically said don't rape women, and apparently it was effective.
Okay.
And, you know, that, it's simple as that. And,
this is funny. I know. This is so funny. Don't murder people. Just, yeah. You know, don't do that. You know, we have to teach you that that's wrong. You know, the thing is about these.
But what are they, like warnings on a condom or something? Like, I mean, I'm sorry to be.
Yeah. No, I know. But... Yeah, no. You're being a little, you know.
Facetious,
yeah. But I mean, at the same time, it's true what you're saying. And what's funny is, you know, it's not even a question. I don't even find it's a question about education. It's about a question about controlling yourself and being a little civil, you know, because. Listen, we are what we are. A lot of us are animals. Some have evolved better than others.
Some.
And it's all about, you know, forgive using the word again, keeping your appendage in your pants.
But the idea that because one is an athlete, there's a bit of a, well, it's okay, they live in a different world. I mean, that is just... That's the root of the problem.
But you were talking about ignorance before, and this is something that's very important. This is not only about, I don't think it's not even about the, you know, the, how we put athletes on a pedestal and so on. It's also about the ignorance. People who have lived in a bubble, like Poppy Harlow on CNN.
Yeah.
You think she's ever seen anything like that before? You know, first of all, her name's Poppy Harlow. First thing I do is say, get a real name. Just get a real name, then I'll take you seriously as a reporter. But she comes up there, and let me tell you something. I've spent a lot of time in the pub, club industry. I've been to bars. I have seen this kind of thing happen.
Sure.
on numerous occasions. And it is, it's almost, you know what's funny about it is, not funny, but I mean ironic about it is, that it's less scary and less traumatizing when you have the memory of the event that happened to you. But when you, when you're...
Sorry, it's less traumatizing?
Well, because of the date rape drug.
Yeah.
You have no memory of what happened.
Right.
So every kind of scenario goes through your mind. And I've talked to girls about this.
Jay,
they've told me.
This girl woke up the next morning. She had no idea. Clue.
No idea.
Clue, but there was a trail on Twitter.
Right.
On Facebook.
So she kind of figured it out.
For crying out loud, on YouTube. There was a video on YouTube.
Even worse. You think that somebody like Poppy Harlow or anybody else at CNN has ever seen or witnessed or experienced something like this? So it's easy for them to dismiss it and say, well, you know, those poor guys, you know, they did what they did, you know. And I don't care if you're drunk. I don't care. I don't care if the girl is. I mean, it's just a horrible thing when you see a girl, and I've seen it happen, becomes lifeless after it happens.
I have been at your bar and seen that where.
Yeah.
And the ambulance gets called. And I mean.
Lifeless. And there is no memory.
Yeah.
There is no memory of what happened. Complete blackout.
Mm-hmm.
So you're completely susceptible. And I guess when you can't control yourself, like I was saying earlier, it's easy to see a girl there. You're already full of drugs and alcohol or whatever. And you have no civility, and you're an animal, and you haven't evolved like the rest of us have, and you think it's back in caveman times when you could club a girl over the head and do whatever you want with her because that's what you're meant to do.
But
you know?
It's weird, Jay. I mean, and frankly, alcohol is very much a part of this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's weird that we, as men, are allowed to drink as much as we want, put ourselves into a stupor, not remember the next day, and it's a great night. And if a girl does it and ends up...
She's a floozy.
Right. If something terrible happens to her, it's her fault.
She's a floozy. Now, I am saying.
And we need to get over that as a society. We need to grow.
Yeah.
Because that is an unacceptable way to think about things.
Let me tell
you. Thank you for the call, Travis.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. 99% of drunken cases when somebody has drank too much at the pub or somewhere else where I've had to deal with it is men. It's men who are out of control, who act the jerk.
For sure. For sure. There's something about alcohol that, I mean, again, it's that lubrication, right? It allows you to sort of rip off the filter.
Yeah.
And
it's not, it just brings out the worst in people.
It does.
And you know, everybody says, well, you're being your true self. Maybe you are, but the problem is...
No, I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that for a second.
But
your true self is, unless you are a very angry, depressed individual, that's not your true self. Now, this isn't everybody. There are a lot of, for lack of a better term, affable drunks out there.
Mm.
People who can handle their liquor, don't know how to go too, who don't take it too far.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the bad apples spoil the bunch.
What I think it does is because your inhibitions are gone, and because it's your brain.
But are they really, or is it just that you give yourself an excuse because of the alcohol?
Some do, some don't. Like I say, it depends on the person. But often what I've seen is that because when your brain is in working order and your conscience is there because, you know, it's not affected by any kind of toxin, you're able to suppress your animal instincts. You're able to suppress it because you're aware of your environment.
Yeah, but not every man is walking around with an animal lust that they want to rape and pillage everything they see.
No, but we used to. We used to. That's the human condition, my friend.
Well, is this turning into the PJ Stock "Everything Was a Monkey Once" conversation? Remember that?
Everything was a monkey once. No, but I mean, you could honestly say that thousands of years ago, we were a little less civil than we are today.
Sure, sure.
And you know that's remember, we're still Homo sapiens. We're still mammals.
Yeah.
And you know, there is that instinct. Now, we've learned now that it's counterproductive to act upon this instinct for the rest of the human race, especially when we've developed to the kind of civilization that we have nowadays. You can't be doing stuff like that. And you know what? Screw those guys. You can't control yourself. You have plenty of time to wax your candle in a prison cell. Enjoy.
Wow. Wow. How long did it take you to come up with that euphemism? It's a pretty good one.
I don't know. I just thought of it.
Oh, right. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. No mercy.
No, but it's taken so long for it to get there. And we're going to see so many stories of cover-ups between now and... Well, never, because that's when society will be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary to think, you know, it's a weird day when you turn on your TV on a Sunday morning and these 16-year-old kids are crying about how their future is ruined. and then CNN goes to one reporter, two reporters, three reporters, all talking about, oh, woe is them. They're going to be on the sex offender list. Oh, no, they had a promising football career ahead of them. Oh, no, they were decent students. The pity is lying in the wrong place.
Yeah, and let's maybe...
And there's a girl out there who gives a damn if she was dressed provocatively, and I don't know if she was. And who gives a damn if she got too drunk? Nobody deserves to be put through what she was put through. And then you add the public shaming of it, and, you know, they both, the two guys, they each got a year sentence because they're minors. Mm. But the one who disseminated the photos over the internet got an extra year.
Mm.
That's food for thought. That the transmission of the act is almost worse than the act.
Right. Yeah.
That makes me wonder. And I saw that, and I mean, I don't know if it, I guess it's because he did both. It was this plus this, whereas the other guy, I guess, I don't know. It's messed up. And then the whole, and I'm happy that Mike Spry brought up the coach, because there's some coach that's like our parents' age, Jay, who's a professional football coach. He's in the Ohio Coaches Hall of Fame.
Yeah, good for him.
30-year vet at this school.
Good for him.
His 300th win, they had 10,000 people there chanting his name. 10,000 people. That's half the Bell Center for a high school football game.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a hero.
And he's still a hero.
He's
That's
a hero.
The mess, and he's still a hero. That's, you know, the messed up part.
I hope he gets locked up, too. And I hope he meets his first 6'6", 400-pound guy who's in there for life and decides to take him over to his jail cell.
It's gonna be...
Maybe then you'll know what it's like. And I'm not saying I do know what it's like, but I would never pretend to know what it's like.
No, right. It's a sad world we live in sometimes, and I'll stand by that statement off the top of the show. I feel very lucky.
Idiots.
Because we get to talk about this stuff, and,
yeah,
and it's important. And if anybody wants to join the conversation, by all means, and we talk about the Habs, the phone lines light up. We talk about rape culture, and it's a little bit quieter. And I understand that, but this does need to be addressed. You're listening to The Kaufman Show.
Speak or write with moderation. I am in earnest. I will not equivocate. I will not excuse, and I will not retreat a single inch, and I will be heard.
Short and Curly's by the Rolling Stones. This is the Kaufman Show. We're back. We're going to talk a little baseball with Max Harris coming up in a few minutes. Max was at the semifinal tonight.
Yes.
Honkball is no more.
Honkball.
Honkball is
They're
no
gone.
More. They're gone. They're out of the tournament. It is a Dominican-Puerto Rico final coming up tomorrow, Tuesday night. It'll be on that TV channel that shows all the Jays games. I don't know how to refer to it in any other way while still keeping my job. Let's go to Ron on line one, Ron in Montreal North. Good evening, Ron.
Yeah, hi, guys.
How are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in quickly on that. I agree 100% with Jay. I have absolutely no respect for anybody, any you know, members of my gender who should act like that. And it should be, you know, severely punished. And I'll say one more thing, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're with a girl, and even if you know this girl, okay, and she's had too much to drink to be able to say no, okay, best thing you can do for her, okay, even if she says yes, is, you know, make sure she gets home. And that's the right thing to do.
Wise words, Ron. Thank you for the call, man. Have a great night. Let's go to Max. Let's talk a little honk ball. Max Harris, the play-by-play man for the San Francisco Dons. Hello, Max.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Just walked out of a ball game. The Dominicans won 4-1, so the dream of honk ball has officially died, which is unfortunate.
I know. I'm sad. They're mourning from Utrecht to The Hague today.
Yes, they're talking honk ball from Eindhoven
to Groningen. Yes. What's going on, Max? So how was it?
It was fun. I mean, the crowd was a little thinner tonight than yesterday. It was only about 27,000. But it was a fun game. I don't know about the future, but I do think it was a good tournament in terms of progress. I think a lot of people who were sort of skeptical about the event have been won over.
Well, good. Good. I mean, you know what? Honestly, if you didn't watch the game last, I think it was Friday night, the U.S.-Dominican game, that I feel like should be forced upon people to see how exciting baseball can be. For anybody that says that baseball is boring, you just have to watch that game, and you'll get it.
Oh, absolutely. And we saw some great games, the U.S. and Dominican. Last night's game was pretty dramatic as well. U.S. and Puerto Rico, and of course, the U.S. and Canada game. I think it's more of an issue, and a lot of people fall into this trap where just because it's not necessarily the best possible tournament doesn't mean it's not entertaining. I mean, we see this. Look at hockey, Dave. Our favorite event every year is the World Juniors. That's not the best hockey on the planet, but it's often the most entertaining.
Great point. Well, anytime you mix nationalism into it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's why the Little League World Series, I think, works very well, as you know, but it's also an entertainment thing. I think the key is that you have to have some kind of volatility. So in this tournament, because starting pitching doesn't go very deep and you're turning it over so much to your bullpen, you know, weird things happen.
Indeed. Indeed. And, well, tomorrow's game I think should be just fantastic, though. I mean, maybe not the final that the head honchos at Major League Baseball wanted.
No, definitely not the final they wanted, but you know, Puerto Rico and Dominican will be playing for the fourth time this tournament in the third different stadium. So these teams have gotten to know each other quite well at this point.
Yeah, well, can you give any kind of insight as to, well, I mean, I think that the Dominicans are probably going to be an overwhelming favorite in the game.
Oh, for sure. I think if you look at their lineups, the Dominicans are a lot better on paper. They're a better offensive team. Puerto Rico got a little bit of a break yesterday with the long ball. Rios still went out. But that being said, it's one game. Puerto Rico knocked off the U.S. to get here. They knocked off Venezuela in the first round. So they've pulled their fair share of upsets to get this far. And, of course, knocking off the Japanese last night.
Right.
I still think the Dominicans are the favorite, but stranger things have happened, Dave.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of baseball. It leads to things like Italy beating Canada, and then Canada beating Mexico, and then the U.S. beating Canada.
Yes, and of course, Italy beating Canada now twice. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's always 2017, right, Max?
There is, and we're looking forward to it. Hopefully it means that Canada doesn't have to qualify this time around.
I don't think they do. I believe that that was one of the news, little pieces of news that I saw that made me smile after that last game, was that because they didn't finish last in the group, they don't have to qualify for the next one.
Yes, as long as the format remains the same. And, of course, the format has changed for every tournament.
You're so right. Max, now, you're going to be doing something very exciting this weekend, right?
Yes, I am. Saturday afternoon, I will be calling a Dons game from AT&T Park, as they play there every year. It's
wow.
part of what's called the Benedetti Classic. So that's a big thrill, I think, for everyone involved.
Is are you going to be able to tweet out a link where we can watch the game? They're going to be will the Revolution be televised?
Well, it'll definitely be broadcast. I don't know if it'll be televised. I have to check with that. But in any case, follow me at Max the Guru. I will be tweeting out a link for that game and all the other games I do.
Max the Guru. Max the Guru. I love that name. And, yes, a very worthy follow on the Twitter machine. Max, thanks so much for your time tonight. Hope you enjoyed the ball game and look forward to listening to the game on Saturday.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Thank you. There he goes, Max Harris. Live from AT&T Park in San Francisco. Let's go to George in St. Lazare. Hello, George.
Hey, how's it going, Dave and Jay?
Good. George, you left your voice in New Jersey. Why are you on the phone?
I just wanted to say a few words, that's all.
Well, good. You've said them, and now go rest your voice. Everything's good?
Speaking of Dons, we sound like we have Corleone on the phone here.
I'll tell you something. What a difference a year makes, okay? Last year, who cared about hockey? This year, it seems like the excitement is just overwhelming. I've gotten so involved with this season so far. I've gone to 2 road games, one in Toronto and one in New Jersey.
That's awesome, man.
Had the time of my life.
Oh, great. Okay?
And where can you be? You gotta hear this one. We went to, obviously, St. Patty's Day. It's a great day to be in New York. Before the game, we went to this place called Nugent's Tavern in Newark, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Did you get hit by an arrow?
And what happened was I had 2 beers on tap and a hamburger, 1 pound with French fries, okay. $11. How can you go wrong with that?
Well, I could think of many ways that could go
yeah.
terribly wrong, George.
How, when you reach $22, then it goes really wrong.
And then after the game, we went and we celebrated, took a trek across to Manhattan, and went to this place called Third and Long.
Hey, those are friends of ours.
Yeah, only Curtis wasn't there. He had a long day, so we asked for him, but he wasn't there.
Oh, too bad.
But the place was rocking, and we had a great time.
One of the best bars on the east side of New York.
Yes.
I recommend that place very highly, especially if you're a Habs fan.
And speaking of which, Curtis Landon was nice enough to send me a gift all the way from New York. Gave it to John Bartlett, who came by the pub on Sunday after the parade and gave me a beautiful polo NHL shirt.
Hey, all right.
With a nice note from Curtis. He's at Swan Dad on Twitter. A great, great guy. And one day I'm going to try and make it down to that bar.
Well, that is a bar where they play the Kaufman Show.
They do.
Yes.
So hello, guys.
Hey, what's up, New York City? Although
yeah.
you can hear us driving around in your car in New York City.
Yes, you can.
If you have a strong signal.
Now that we're on 690, yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. So
can be heard far and wide.
Raise a pint.
Before we end tonight's program, Mr. Kakalakis, do we have any information right now? Nothing? Can't find it. All right. John Kakalakis was gonna bring you all a scoop, an expose, a Montreal expose, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some good news, though. The Montreal Baseball Project has announced on Facebook today, MBP founder and president Warren Cromartie will give a press conference on Wednesday, March 20th at 10 a.m. to provide an update on the project to bring MLB back to Montreal. Just let that sink in for a second. Lots of Expos news in the last couple of days, or last few days. Matthew Ross's Expos Nation announced their new website is up. July 20th is the big trip to Toronto. Hope to see you all there. Can't wait. We're going to take over a couple of sections in the outfield again. Jay, get the day off work. It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday this time,
Uh-oh.
Not a Sunday.
Uh-oh.
I know. Well, 1 o'clock game. Maybe you can do the fly-in, fly-out like you did last time.
Wow. Longest day of my life. So I know I trained back. I got on the train.
So do we know where this press conference is, John?
No.
Because I haven't gotten the invite. So
Your guess is as good as mine, Dave.
All right. Well, I'll have to find out where it is and crash it. You're going to crash it with me, Farrar?
What time?
10 a.m.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Jay, if it was a press conference about tiddlywinks, I wouldn't tell you to get up at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Cromartie is providing an update on the project to bring Major League Baseball back to Montreal. You can go to bed after it.
Okay.
I'll pick you up.
You going to drive me?
I need some muscle. I want to make sure I get in.
And you're going to bring me?
They're not going to say no to me if I've got you on my arm.
You think so?
I know so.
It's not a pub. You know,
it doesn't matter.
Usually if you have me on your arm at a pub, you'll get in.
I'm not. Well, who knows? Maybe it is at a pub.
Okay.
If it's at a pub, then I expect you to. Then you're picking me up.
Hey, yeah, I'm picking you up. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm really looking forward to seeing what has transpired in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my fingers remain crossed.
See what kind of progress has been
nothing
made?
More than anybody else. I am just a fan. I am a very active listener. I am have a very, very much a rooted interest in this and want this to succeed. And I can't wait to see what Crow has to say. Let's take one more call, and then we might just call it a night. Let's go to Mike in St. Leonard. Hello, Mike.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. Heavy show tonight. Some heavy topics.
Yeah, it can't always can't be Nashville every night.
Yeah. Great tune. Great song. It's so truthful. I just wanted to weigh in on it a little bit, and just a little bit of a different angle. For me, crimes will always happen, but it's the way that the society around reacts that really concerns me in this situation. After Penn State, there was talk of people becoming a lot more sober and sensitive, but that's not the reality at all.
No.
The fact of the matter is that I know Jay was talking about the way we've evolved, but there's one thing that man is built with that the animals never had, and that is the ability to worship. And we worship, unfortunately, right now in our society, even teenagers who play football, to the point where we would let something like this go. You know, the fact that no one along the chain would stop it or felt the need to report it down to even, like, law enforcement.
That poor girl, man. Like, imagine how alone she felt.
Yeah, but, you know,
even the cops are turning a blind eye.
Well, that's the whole thing, but for me, it's the, even go a little bit further with Candy Crowley, you know. It's almost like the same way, you know, as a person who's black. In the States, you know, blacks always blame everyone else, but sometimes it's each other that are bad. When a woman doesn't stand up for another woman or doesn't feel a sensitivity, that's a real concern. I used to have that debate in CDIP all the time with feminists who are like, Vogue and Cosmopolitan, men are putting us down. Check to see who's writing the magazine. It's other women, you know? Until you get united and strong on your own, don't come and see me.
Yeah, but I don't think it's up to necessarily just women to be defending.
No, but
And I think you've seen a lot of men come to bat for the right side of this argument in the last 24 hours.
Of course, but you know, Dave, at some point in time, you got to help yourself. If mothers who have daughters don't feel the need to stand up for this girl, what's going to happen?
I mean,
you can't even count on people who are your own gender who would have the same threats against them stand up for you and are blaming you and putting you down. I mean, come on. I mean, it's beyond comprehension at this point in time. And it's a cultural thing, and the Americans will have to deal with that, and they never will. I mean, it's the same thing with gun culture, anything else that they have. It's not going to be something that's easily corrected. I don't even think education's a part of it, because you don't need education to know what's right and wrong.
Travis made the point, though, earlier, Mike, that we have the same issue here. Just
of course.
We see it with junior hockey. There isn't that football culture.
Yeah, we have the hockey culture here, the same thing.
And I can't speak to the small-town mentalities. I've lived in Montreal my whole life. But I do believe that there is a difference in the small town, because you see the latitude that the pros get in this town.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the same example, just on a much smaller scale.
You know, but, you know, that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, that story like that really upset me. That story, the way the CNA covered it was upsetting. The angle, and even bringing on the father apologizing. I mean, honestly, between me and you, Dave, and the rest of Montreal who's listening and everyone in New York who can pick it up, I'm not going to sit there and take that if that's one of my daughters.
Right.
Honestly, I swear to, I would jump. I would be jumping, and I would be like, I don't even want to hear another word out of these guys' mouths. I mean, everyone's apologizing for their past sins. I don't care. I'm not interested. You got to go to jail, all of you, the whole bunch. You got to go to jail.
Mike, we can, you know, people rag on the internet a lot. And the internet is a source of bullying and a source of a lot of dark places.
Yeah.
This is one example where the internet did a hell of a lot of good.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that that's something that, that doesn't get lost in all this. We complain about the 24-hour media cycle. And yeah, every once in a while,
some justice is served.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to know that, to remember that.
Unfortunately, Dave, honestly, the lesson here learned is for all the other football bunnies out there and all the football studs, you know, the only thing they'll learn out of this is next time not to put it on YouTube. I mean, that kind of brazen, arrogant ignorance, to feel that you could go that far and still get away with it, it's beyond, you know, it's beyond law enforcement. It's beyond them at that. The fact that the New York Times would have to get involved in order to bring people to justice says it all.
Well, it also shows that there's a very important role still to be played by journalists in our society.
Sure. For sure.
And something that we shouldn't take for granted.
Anyways, what can you do? It's not a positive note.
We can talk about it, Mike. We can talk about it. And you know what? It's important that it gets discussed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got this forum, and I'm going to use it however I want. And this week, this was how I wanted to use it.
Well, congrats to you, Dave. I mean, you always cover the heavy stuff, the more sensitive stuff, the more intelligent stuff. I mean, you know I'm a fan, so I don't need to get into that, you know. But
thank you, Mike.
At least, you know, it's the reason why I listen. You know?
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good night, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Hopefully we'll speak next week as well.
Little sense of reality. And that's what a lot of these anchors and so-called journalists on these big networks lack. They have no sense of reality because they haven't lived. They haven't lived a day. They haven't been out in the streets. They haven't seen consequence. They haven't seen tragedy.
Yeah,
so to
what?
Them, it just becomes an issue that we can just write about. You know,
tell that to,
men and women.
Tell that to Lara Logan.
Yeah.
The CBS reporter that was, I don't know if it was sexually assaulted in Tahrir Square last year.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell that to her. I'd like to see what she was, if she was watching the Sunday morning talk shows.
Mm-hmm. And it's not because we wish any of this to happen to anybody. But at the same time, you want people to get a sense of reality where they know the consequences and it, like I said, you don't want this tragedy to happen to anybody, but when you see it around you, you'll have a little bit more sympathy for what happens to these victims.
514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546, running out of racetrack here on the Kaufman Show. Let's go to Jerry in NDG. Good evening, Jerry.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
I'm okay. I guess I'm all right.
Good.
I missed most of your show, unfortunately, because I had a call from the U.S.
Do you have the internet, Jerry?
Nope.
No, you got to get the internet. Then you can listen to this whenever you want. You don't have to stay up in the middle of the night on Mondays.
Oh, I don't mind listening. Okay. I like listening to you.
Well, we'll bring you another good show next week, and I hope you had a good conversation.
Yeah, and I wanted to wish you a happy Passover.
Oh, well, isn't that sweet of you? Thank you very much.
And I'm looking forward to hearing what Warren Kamati has to say.
Me too. I really can't wait. I will get myself to that press conference, and I will... live tweet
wherever it is,
and I will live tweet the heck out of it. I promise you.
I'd like to shoot that guy. That's the owner in Miami there that screwed the Expo.
Jeffrey Loria.
Yeah, the wonderful man there.
Well, I think shooting seems a little excessive on a day where we've talked so much anger and so much violence.
The other person I don't like is Bud Selig.
Him you can shoot. Don't worry about it.
Jerry, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for staying up and listening. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Andrew in Montebello. Good evening, Chef.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is, I wasn't actually going to call in, but this is just too close to my heart.
I was going to say, with the, you know, your daughter that won the Arkells tickets on our show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have someone who is still in my life, who was a very, very close member, who actually was raped.
Goodness.
And the moment that I heard about it, It was my brother who called me, who told me about it, what happened. And she lived downtown Montreal. Not asking for any of this. Some asshole broke into her place, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing got happened. And I freaked when I heard about it. I actually went outside and I had an aluminum baseball bat in my hand. And I was just looking for something to break. People don't realize what this does to entire families.
Of course.
I went outside, and I found a big maple tree. And the first three strikes were really, really good. The fourth one came back and kicked me in the head and gave me 12 stitches over my eye. Which, at that moment, I just realized, like, what I had just done was stupid. But it wasn't. At the same time, it was the only way to get some type of relief.
Well, that's the difference, isn't it? Isn't it, Chef, that you channeled it properly, you know?
And that's that. Thank you, Jay. That's exactly where I'm trying to go. People have got to find some inner ability, inner force to get back on the track, because this is just completely ridiculous. And the fact that your last caller just said, "Well, if there's one thing that these people learn is not to put it on Facebook," God, I hope that's the last thing they learn.
Yeah. Well, no. Unfortunately, that's what they're going to learn to preserve their animal ways. Right, is to learn that maybe you shouldn't show off in social media, and then you can get away with murder.
I hope they're stupid enough to keep on doing it, because not only will they get caught, but it also give people a rare glimpse of how brutal this kind of situation is.
And a reminder to the people that think that there's an anonymity online, it doesn't always exist.
No.
It can be very easily erased through legal channels.
Well, then
they can find your IP address. They can find what you're saying.
Well, then, in that case, long live social media, so these idiots can basically show themselves out for what they actually are, monsters. And let's hope that something can come of this that is going to be positive, because this poor young lady, she's going to live with this for her whole life, her family's going to live with her, her friend's going to live with it, and let's just hope that because of this, that something good is going to come of it.
Let's hope. Let's hope for more conversations like this on sports radio.
Yeah, and it's just really unfortunate that it has to be this late at night. I know.
Call my boss, okay? I'd much rather do this earlier in the day, Chef.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank our guests tonight. Selena Roberts from RoopStego.com. Do check out the site. Part two of the Luther Wright documentary is up now. A fantastic guest and somebody I hope that we can be in touch with in the future. As always, our friend Mike Spry, MD Spry on Twitter from The Barnstormer. They do great work over there. They do a lot of the stuff that we like to do.
Yes.
It's a very good companion to the Kaufman Show.
Yes, and
I
Mike,
say so
Mike, by the way, has all of his appendages.
He does, and they are beautiful.
Yes, they are. We hope so, anyway.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel,
we're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Been listening to The Kaufman Show.